Hey, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for listening to the Mean Green Nation podcast. Do not forget to subscribe and leave a review on iTunes or wherever you subscribe. Feedback is a podcast at meangreennation.com. That helps me make sure that the podcast sounds amazing and you're getting the kind of stuff that you want to hear. Thanks again for listening and enjoy the show. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Mean Green Nation podcast coming to you direct from San Antonio, Texas. Once again, you might like, why is Mean Green Nation covers it? That's where I live. That's why. I mean, if you haven't put that together, ladies and gentlemen, I mean, I feel sorry for you. Anyways, with me, as usual, Mr. Aldo, how you doing today?
Good morning. Yeah, I'm feeling all right. I'm getting over the sinus infection.
You got to take care of yourself, man.
Trying to. Yeah, I've been medicated and trying to drink this tea, make myself sound a little more saucy.
Real nice and smooth. Ladies and gentlemen, I went to Conference USA Media Days as promised. As an aside, all the recordings I took on my phone, I sound terrible. It's a combination of like the room, the angle I had, the phone, and just me. Probably mostly me. I sound terrible. Like, you know what? Are you gonna do a good job over there? You know, like that's how I sound. Terrible. So there's not gonna be a whole lot of audio on this podcast because I couldn't clean it up to a level that I was happy with. It was just enough so I can transcribe some of these quotes. So a lot of it is pretty unusable, unfortunately. Hey, I'm Adam. Nice to meet you. I'm
English.
You're so shy.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. But let's get into it. So Conference USA kickoff 2017, a.k.a. Conference USA Media Days, happened July 19th, July 20th, and yours truly was there. I drove up to Irving. I sat down with these people, I shoved my recorder in their face, and I asked them questions. And, you know, I posted about it, so if you've been following the site, you've been reading the site, you've read what happened. Going into it, I had said, it's probably going to be boring, probably not going to be very informative, as these things go. For lots of reasons, I don't think any media day event for any conference has been particularly interesting, except maybe the Hugh Freeze one where he just kind of filibustered for a while, or, I mean, can you think of anything off the top of your head?
No. I mean, as far as media days go, pretty par for the course.
Yeah, it's where you get your standard quotes like, oh, well, how do you feel about this year? Oh, well, we feel pretty good, working hard. You know, we're excited to either improve on last season or continue what we did last season and, you know, face challenges in front of us. Def Conference, some good teams. We're looking forward to it. That's pretty much everybody's answer. Stock quote. I gave you basically what everybody said. Then you just, some little tiny details. You know, you ask a Marshall, like what, I asked all of the Marshall dudes, hey, what the hell happened last year? Why did y'all suck? And they're like, well, you know, I can't really point to one thing. We just, you know, the coach, super coach speak. He coach speaked me out, man. I was not super interested, so I don't really follow up. I'm like, it's Marshall, man. I don't really care. But he's like, yeah, you know, well, we didn't coach him up well enough. You know, that was on us. Hopefully we improve, et cetera, et cetera.
Same lines. Marshall, you know, when people are thinking of Marshall in the past, you know, decade, they think of, you know, class of the conference kind of thing. I think now you look at Western Kentucky, and that's kind of a regional rival, division rival. I mean, do you take that personally at all? You're kind of like, hey, we gotta maintain our standard. We gotta get back to that level.
I mean, our expectations and standards never change. You know, we expect to compete for championships every year because that's what we do. And you know, Western Kentucky's done a tremendous job. And you know, our job is to get. We worry about Marshall, and worry about Marshall getting back to where we've been. You know, the last 3 years, and right. So we're working extremely hard to get that done.
So, I mean, you know, normally you can point to one thing, you know, it was injuries, roster turnover, or something like that. I mean, what was the cause of that 3-9 season?
Well, we just didn't coach them well enough. We didn't play well enough. And so we had to go back and evaluate what we're doing. And you know, we take great pride that there's nowhere to hide in our program. And we, you know, identify what our issues are and go to work to get them fixed. And I feel like we've done that.
The players, the Ryan Yurchek, though, he was super candid. He's like, ah, it was probably that Akron game. Once they sacked Chase Litton and he fumbled and they scooped it up and they scored, we were never the same the rest of the season. I was like, wow, that was a good quote. Unfortunately, I'm not a Marshall blogger. And so it doesn't mean a whole lot to me.
So what can you point to that caused that 3-9 season? It seemed like it was so out of character for her to get.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's just one of those years where just, you know, we were up, you know, 21-7 against Akron in our second game, and one of our offensive linemen checked the wrong way or went the wrong way, and you know, Chase got smacked, fumbled, they picked it up and ran back for a touchdown. And it's crazy to say that one play really changed our season, but you know, I honestly don't feel like we were never the same after that. We ended up losing that game like 65-40 or something like that, and they just poured it on us. And then you know. Unfortunately, got stuck with, you know, second-ranked Louisville coming into our place a week after that. And then, you know, started off 1-2 and then went to Pitt after that, who, you know, should have beat, you know, or did beat national champion Clemson. And, you know, we honestly should have won that game if we'd played a halfway decent first half. So, I mean, it's just one of those years where we had injuries, never really got our feet under us. And
anyways, so let's get into it. Instead of just speaking for 35 minutes, which I have no problem doing, about media days and telling stories from it, we're going to mix them in with some topics. One of the things that came out of it, Brett Vito's like, well, I asked, what's his face, Josiah Tua Afa, hey, is UNT your rival? And I'm like, meh. I don't know. I read what he wrote, and I'm sure that's what Tuefa said. He seemed like a guy that was kind of giving you what you want to hear, the linebacker. So, I mean, when I asked him the same thing. It's like, dude, so who's your rival? And he's like, well, we don't know really. I was like, okay, so, you know, I know you get up for every game. I know what kind of quote you're going to give me. Like, yeah, we circle every game. Every game's important. But what team do you look at and you say, I hope that team loses, you know, when you look at the conference schedule? Josh Stewart and Josiah Tuaifa looked at each other and they kind of smirked and go, La Tech. It's that team for me. So to those guys, it's Louisiana Tech.
So all right, so turn it to UNT. I mean, I know you have this. Everybody asks you about that all the time. But so like, I feel like from North Texas side, there was never really a rivalry. I know UTSA kind of has one with Texas State, but I feel like fans on both sides, mostly internet fans, kind of like UNT maybe is the rival for y'all. They kind of point to that and circle. Who do you feel when you look at the schedule and you like, you know, in your private moment, you're like, I want to beat that team.
I don't look at like the team like, okay, I'm circling this game more than any other game because I give all the teams equal respect.
I get what you're saying, though. I know what you're saying.
Well, I guess maybe a better way to put it is like every week you care about the team playing, right? But when you look at the schedule and you're like, well, I'm glad they lost. You know what I mean? Maybe that's
what I would say. La Tech. Honestly.
Yeah.
I don't know. They just...
That's a good point because, you know, when you point at the schedule, who you want to beat? You want to beat the better teams. You want to show the rest of the conference that you can go head to head against the best. And right now, North Texas isn't the best. So why would you want to say, hey, I can beat North Texas, and the other teams are gonna go, well, so can we?
Yeah, I mean, we talked a little bit about. I was like, it seems to me like it's more of an internet generated, and they both, you know, said yeah. I was like, what do you think about that? Like, yeah, it's fine. I later asked a similar question to Sean Coogler, UTEP's Sean Coogler, head coach. I asked him about rivalries. I'm like, you've had a couple go-rounds with all the teams here at the Texas schools. Do you feel like there's any rivalries for y'all? I mean, especially considering that you're in, you know, El Paso out there. And I may or may not have said these words to him. I didn't say El Paso to him. And he says, you know, they're building. There's potential. I asked him also, hey, what is the role of a coach in like building up these rivalries? And he says, we don't really have one. I mean, you know, like it's a thing that happens. You get great games, you play great games against each other, and then those rivalries kind of build. Like it's like over time, you play big games, that kind of thing. I think throughout the UTEP UTSA, what was that, 5 overtime epic battle that happened last season. It's like, you know, like once that happens, then they want to beat us for something else, and that's how you build rivalries. I agree. I also don't necessarily agree that the coaches do not play any role in that. I think they kind of.
Oh, well, yeah. Coaches definitely do.
Yeah. I mean, especially if you have a coach that's there for 10 years because they can continue on a little history. They can, in their pregame speeches, they can say, hey, look, I want to beat this team. You know, this is a team that bothers me a lot. And they pass it on to their players who then pass it on to the younger players, et cetera, that kind of thing. You know, so they can play a role. It's not like they're just passersby.
So how do you feel now that you've gone a couple of rounds in Conference USA with, like, North Texas, UTSA in there? How do you feel about it? Do you feel like any burgeoning rivalries, or how do you feel about all
of them? You know, I see rivalries with all the Texas schools, you know, and competing against those schools. All of them are highly competitive. We've had good games against all of them, and I think, you know, over the years, you know, the rivalries develop. You know, you're just going to do it in 1 year, right. But I can see it. You know, we've had some competitive games with all three of those schools, so I think it's healthy for the conference.
Do you feel like there's anything incumbent upon the coaches to kind of stoke that rivalry, or does it just happen naturally?
I think it happens naturally, and it happens with quality play and outstanding games. You know, like last year we played UT San Antonio at 5 overtimes, you know.
That was a great game.
Those are the type of things that carry into the next year. You know, they're going to be gunning for us after something like that, and that's what rivalries are built on.
I mean, so outside of that, nobody wanted to have rivalry talk. I didn't think so. Everybody was pretty focused on their team and had their stock quotes. And was really well prepared to handle the barrage of questions from professional media types and then fake media types like me. Fake news people.
Hashtag.
Yeah. I mean, besides that, what did you think of any of the Wilson, McLean, Luttrell quotes?
I mean, like you said, it was all pretty stock quotes. It's media days is where they come in. They're going to talk, hype up the season, talk about how this is how we did last season. This is how we're going to prepare for this season, and then we're going to win. Nothing really jumped out at me.
I think one of the things, I guess, like a question, outstanding question about Jeff Wilson that I asked him straight out was like, everybody feels like you're one of the best players on the team. I feel that way. I feel like you're the best offensive player. Do you feel any pressure to carry the team to do blah, blah? I said, no, you know, the team, when the team does well, then I do well. It's all about my teammates. You did a good job deflecting and being magnanimous. And then I asked, well, like, so how have you been staying healthy? You know what I mean? Like, it's a big knock. Hey, Jeff Wilson can do great, but he might be injured, right? If he can stay on the field. That kind of thing. He says he's been working out harder and not taking any days off and grinding, et cetera, et cetera.
Hey, Jeff. So, I mean, I know we only got a few minutes.
3 minutes,
right? Okay, cool. So, I mean, me and many other fans feel like you're the best player on the offense right now. So do you feel any of that pressure? Do you go into, like, the off-season workout? Do you feel any of that? Like, if I do well, then the team does well? Do you feel any of that?
Oh, no, sir. Because I feel like if the team does well, the team will do well. Not if I do well. Because, I mean, I'm nothing without my team. Right. I'm nothing without my linemen.
Right.
I'm nothing without my receivers blocking downfield. Right. I'm nothing without the quarterback making sure he calls the right play. Like,
right.
Like it's more than me. And you have to realize that. When you're a player.
So, like, everybody's been not. I think everybody said Jefferson Wilson's going to do great things if he can stay on the field.
Yes,
I mean, so what people have been saying, that they've been working with you to get to you know, maintain your health.
Yes,
what have you done differently in the past season? I mean, you don't have to go into detail. Just, I mean.
It's just the 24/7 grind. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not taking a day off and not missing a day. And,
yeah.
And that was the goal, and that's what we did.
So, not the most insight there. I mean, maybe my terrible abilities as an interviewer, but from everything I read from everybody else, he didn't really change too much of that. Working with the trainer.
I did see that he was trying to gain a few pounds.
Right.
So that might be good in terms of his durability.
Yeah, that's always it's a fine line there because, you know, you stay lighter, you're more mobile, you're more flexible, hopefully, and you're faster. And, you know, gaining some weight to be able to take some of the punishment means that you might be taking more punishment because you're not as fast or as quick or flexible. And, I mean, obviously, an awesome trainer will be able to to get you put on the right weight, you know? So you put on
I was thinking like maybe 5 or 10 pounds and then try to keep his agility.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Is like you work with a guy, he can put on the right kind of weight, you know what I mean? So that way you can build it all up and then you can stay mobile out there. I'm looking forward to Jeff Wilson in his senior season. I feel like he's going to do good things. You know, he said he's been working on his pass catching abilities. He did a good job last year catching passes. There were a couple times when he looked a little bit uncomfortable, and you can probably say that Willie Ivory was the better pass catcher of the twain, but, you know, he said he's working on it. He caught like something like 26 passes last season. I think it's a very underrated part of his game. Some of those bad catches or missed catches were because the quarterback was throwing it at his foot or throwing it behind him. You know, if we can put it on him with a couple blockers in front of him, you see what happens. Like what he did against the Army in the bowl game.
Yeah, and I thought both running backs did a pretty good job of catching the ball, like you said. And some people, or a lot of people, don't realize how big of a role running backs have in the passing game in an air raid type offense. And we'll continue to see, and so we'll continue to see them both, or, you know, Wilson and whoever's next, Nick Smith or Darden, catching passes back there. You know, when we're having 2 to 3 backs out in the backfield at a time, stuff like that.
Yeah, I talked to him about that, and I said, hey, look, for like, if you're talking to my mom, right, and not like a super informed football guy, like, what are we going to see from you this season? He's like, well, you're going to see me catching the ball out of backfield, getting in space, you know, run blocking, this, that, and the other, pass blocking. It was pretty generic stuff, but it was good. It was good. He seemed super excited about being there. And then he kept calling me sir, which made me feel weird. Because I'm like, dude, I'm not that old. Or am I? God, you know, then I felt old, had an existential crisis. Then I bought a Corvette, and so it's fine. It's fine. I feel better about myself.
That's how it works.
Yeah. I played in the 2013 bowl game. I know they were talking about it. I know they like to go and hug the trophy and all that. How much motivation do you get from seeing them do that? I mean, you know, you talked about them taking a ring away from you. Do you kind of want to get back to that?
Yes, sir. You know, after the game, you know, seeing them celebrate and jump around, you know, I mean, it was a heartbreaker. You know, left a real bad taste in our mouth, not only for them, but for everybody else that's on our schedule, you know what I mean? And it's going to carry over. And November 18th is going to be one to remember.
All right, so, like, for, like, the people that don't really know football, I mean, I think they looked at the offense and they're like, all right, well, it's a pass offense, right?
Yes, sir.
Like, running backs ain't going to get the ball right. But, yes, I mean, I think you caught, like, 20-something passes last year. Yes, it was, like, career high for you, and you get a lot of passes. You get a lot of touches in a pass game. I mean, can you tell, like, say, like, my mom, you know, like, somebody don't know. How are you going to get the ball this year? And, you know, what can they expect from you in your new number 3?
Oh, just, yeah, that number 3, man. But, nah, you're going to see some kind of the similar stuff. Me just getting in open space, you know. Yeah. I tell mom, I'm going to be running, but I'm also going to catch it. You know what I mean? That's another part of my game I would like to flourish more. You know, I feel like I can help my team if I caught the ball more. And, you know, and we're going to try to implement that to the game.
So, so Keyshawn McClain, I didn't get to see the video that Brett Vito recorded of him. He's like, he kind of stole him away, so I had to wait around for Keyshawn to come back so I can ask him some questions. But same thing with him. I mean, he's excited about the season. He's excited about his role. I asked him about the scheme. And I posted it in the forum, and, you know, I think, was it Chris? Chris Walker was like, were the two people calling plays? It's something I had wondered previously. I didn't get a straight answer from him, and I didn't really press him on it because, again, we're focused on this season and not last. But, you know, he said it's different with one guy running the show, but it's not crazy different. There's a lot more moving around than previous years. They had some aspects of that last year, but now it's more consistent. He's going to be in a lot of different places, so we can expect to see him coming, you know, from off the edge, filling gaps, doing this, that, and the other. I asked him, you know, what was one thing that stuck out from him from last season? one play he could have back that he wish he could get back, when the Army dude ran for 60 yards up the middle. So there you go.
Yeah.
So a couple things. I mean, last year you had like a co-defensive coordinator situation. Yeah. I mean, I guess for like just so people know, like how did that work out and how is it different this year? I know it's one voice, but has the scheme changed any?
The scheme changed a little bit. You know, we have a lot of guys moving around from every position, you know, so that's only the really big difference, you know. We don't have one guy calling the shots now. It'll be a little different, but it's not as much change.
Do you feel like you got a lot of freedom to make plays in this?
Yeah, I have a lot of freedom. I'm roaming around, coming from off the edge, you know, covering, tackling, just filling the gaps or whatever. So I have a lot of versatility going on.
So I asked Jeff, right? I mean, he kind of said, like, not really. It takes a game at a time. Mm-hmm. But do you look at anybody on the schedule and say, like, I kind of circle that one? Like, that one means a little bit extra to me?
Yeah, me personally, I circle everybody. You know, I want it all. Whoever we line up in between the white line, they're going to get the best of me and the best of my team. So everybody is who I'm focused on.
So you got recognition. You got on the award watch list. I mean, but that's more people, like, recognizing you. Right? But, like, when did you feel I'm one of the best safeties in this conference and maybe in the country?
I felt like that ever since I got on the field. You know, I kept that in my head. I really just wasn't too sobo about it, you know. Yeah. And now that people starting to realize it, though, I just stay humble about it and keep working and keep doing what I'm doing and just do more.
So how do you approach preparing that? Because now everybody looks at you and they're like, well, it's Thorpe Award watch list, you know, Keshawn McClain. So how do you approach it? Like, in the locker room, has anything changed? You still lead by example?
I still lead by example. I'm still the same guy, you know what I'm saying? I just have more confidence in myself. You know, that's a big honor, and I'm blessed to have that honor, you know. I just want to level up to it now and show everybody that I can play with those guys in a power five. You know, I can compete with those guys on next level. You know, I want that, and I'm ready.
So at the end of the season, we look back, or you look back, right? And you're like, here's how I know I had a successful season, because I did what?
Yeah, you know, I competed, you know. I competed each and every game, and I had more to do. I'm not finished at all, so I just want to compete more.
So I think, was it Army tore y'all up for a lot of yards rushing. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, they even challenged y'all and said, you know what, 4th-and-1, we're going to go for it. Mm-hmm. How did that make you feel? I mean, obviously bad, but I mean.
Yeah. It's football, you know. I didn't feel any type of way. I was just in the moment, and I was playing, and it happened the way it did. But, you know, we left with a bad taste in our mouth, and we took that off after the season. Until our spring ball and everything goes with that taste in our mouth. So we hungry, more hungry than ever. Still to this day right now, we're going to finish strong this year.
So any of those plays, is there any plays you look back on and that give you extra motivation to, I mean, you mentioned Rice, that kind of thing helps you prepare to the spring, going to fall camp. Any play sticks out in your mind, like, I could have done 10% better, and so that's why I'm going to work 10%.
Yeah, I would say a big play that stood out to me was against Army when the quarterback broke for maybe about 60 yards. Yeah. I just felt like I could have just read it better, you know, and just got off my block faster just to make the tackle.
Did they run was that QB ISO?
Like a QB ISO, right down the middle.
I mean, so how hard is it to prepare for, like, an Army? Like, you're playing West Kentucky, they throw a ball around, and all of a sudden you got to, you know.
Yeah, it's different. You know, you have to be real critique on what you're doing and have your eye discipline, very, very disciplined, because if you one mess up and they're gone, it can happen quick. Just the type of offense that runs is different. You don't go against that. You prepare for pretty much same kind of offense every week, but when you hit Army, you have to focus on the littlest things, and if you mess up on the littlest thing, it'll blow your whole game.
So just – like, I always ask this, like, so say you're talking to my mom, right? And she's like, eye discipline, what does that mean? Can you explain that?
Eye discipline is just your key of what's going on and what you have to read to make the play happen or be in the right place, the position to be in that play.
So it's like watching the outside tackle shoulder or something like that.
Yeah, see, if he blocked this way, you have to do this. If he raises up, you have to do this. It's just different things like that.
So I asked Coach this. What's going to be different? When I turn on the TV and I see 2017 North Texas football, right? What's going to tell me that this is different than 2016?
We're going to have a lot of swag and confidence. That's what you're going to see, for sure. Yeah, swag and confidence.
Of all the uniforms y'all wore, which is your favorite? The chrome helmets?
The chrome, I say the chrome with the all white. That was my favorite.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Appreciate it, man.
Yes, sir.
Good stuff.
Yeah, I don't expect much to be different for Keyshawn in particular, just because I think Reffitt was more concerned with the defensive backs while Eckler was was working with the front seven or front six.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's the other thing, too, is that, like, you know, they bring our best player, our best defensive player, you know, the Thorpe Award watch list player. I asked him about that, too. I was like, does that make you carry yourself different? He says no, that he's still a humble, hardworking guy. I asked him if he felt like, when he felt like he was the best safety in a conference, or if he feels that way, and he says that, you know, as soon as I walked on the field, that kind of thing. So I really like his confidence. I mean, that's the attitude you want the dude to have, you know. The other, like, everything else about the defense, a lot is going to be dependent on the defensive line. I mean, that's football. It's what we say on this show all the time. So, I mean, Keyshawn could have an amazing season, and we could still have a terrible defense, you know? It's not really on him, yeah.
I mean, he's been having amazing seasons on this terrible defense.
yeah. When he led the team in tackles a couple years ago.
I think he's been leading the team in tackles for like 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, it's, I mean, he does some good things. Like, you want him getting more tackles for loss, and I think last season he did it. Like, you see him flying up in some of these highlight tapes, or if you just go back and rewatch some of the games, especially against Army, you see him flying up to make some pretty amazing plays. Like, those are the kinds of things that don't always show up in stat sheets. And sometimes he makes a mistake, but like, those are playmaking type plays, you know, like he makes the guy make a cut. Some other guy gets a tackle. And you know, you're like, wow, look at that guy getting a great tackle there. But you don't see Keyshawn flying up, beating his blocker and making the runner change direction. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. And I feel like last year our pass defense was underrated. And him and James Gray back there did a pretty good job of holding in the fort. James Gray was underrated as a pass defender. He had a lot of passes defended. He was laying out, especially against Middle Tennessee. He had a pretty decent game that night.
Yeah, and good.
You know, this year, now that we know that it's a solid pass defense, we're bringing most of that unit back, including Eric Jenkins, Nate Brooks, Keyshawn McClain. The other safety position is where we have the question mark, but we're supposed to have pretty decent guys coming in.
Yeah, and I mean, I feel like the other three can make that other person better. Maybe other teams will start picking on them or something like that, but I mean, we have relative to our conference, we have two lockdown corners. I mean, guys that I feel comfortable going one-on-one with anybody. I forget the dude's name from Southern Miss, the receiver. I think he's pretty good. But Nate Brooks ran step for step with him, stride for stride most of the time.
Yeah, the guy that's like 6'6 or something like that.
Yeah, and Eric Jenkins did a good job on, like, say, Josh Stewart, from the big, he's like 6'5 dude from UTSA. He did a good job staying with him, staying on him. You know, there were a couple times where, like, UTSA quarterback would scramble out of what should have been a sack and could find him. I mean, it's hard to put that on Eric Jenkins. But, yeah, you know, Jenkins led the team in interceptions. You like a guy like that. You feel comfortable with those dudes. They were not good enough to stop Carlos Henderson and the other guy from Louisiana Tech, but
Tywan Taylor.
Yeah, it turns out nobody was. Nobody was good enough to stop those guys. You know, they're really, really good. We need them to be good enough, and we need the rest of our defense to, you know, Keyshawn McClain is going to make plays, and the other safety to just not mess things up. You know what I mean? That's
sure.
Fine. Yeah.
Well, I mean, and like you said, it falls on the defensive line, and you have to be able to make that quarterback uncomfortable. And those quarterbacks were pretty comfortable for most of those games, finding Carlos Henderson, finding Tywan Taylor, Richie James, pretty frequently. So, you know, it's on the defensive line to try to make it easier for the rest of the team, especially, you know, third down defense is something that's got to improve, and that's not going to happen necessarily with the defensive backs.
Yeah, it's so in a lot of sports, the thing is that you can't really stop a chance, but you can stop second, third, and fourth chances. In basketball, you know, they can get lucky and make it from half court, you know, like, and if they do, then, you know, you tip your hat and you play another play, right? You take the ball out and just keep going. But you don't want them to get three or four shots, or three or four good shots, especially. And in football, it's similar. You know, you have three downs to get a first down, and you don't want them to get big chunks of yardage. You don't want them to have an easy third and one. You know, you want them to have third and 10, obviously, right? This seems pretty obvious. But North Texas did a good job of stopping teams early and then giving up plays, or, you know, bailing them out with a penalty, or giving up short yardage, or even things that didn't give up first downs but allowed a play to be, you know, just like a small penalty that would shorten the field for them and give them another third down, an offside, that kind of thing. So what was third and seven is now third and two. And on that third and seven, we knocked the ball down, and we thought we were going to get off the field, but now it's third and two, and now they get the first down. And you know what I mean? So any good that happens, it's done with. I kind of rambled a little bit, and the point I was making is that we gave up a lot of second chances, second, third, fourth chances because of penalties.
Yeah, and we lost a lot of those chances.
Yeah, and so, I mean, you have to look really closely, and you can see the outlines of a pretty decent defense. I mean, if you're one of the national writers and you're just looking at the stats, you're like, this team was pretty mediocre. They're not that great. I mean, they had an okay pass defense. It's not so simple, and these things are interrelated. But I feel like if we can get to the quarterback, you know, pretty consistently, we can change the game. We were able to do that against Marshall, like one or two sacks. Next thing you know, the game's changed. Because it's the same way. If we knock the offense off of schedule and we sack them, then the game is in our favor. You know, we can be aggressive. We can, you know, blitz even more, make it even tougher, and they have to force the throw, again, against some pretty good defensive backs back there. Nate Brooks, Keshawn McClain, Eric Jenkins. Even D. Bachman, when he's out there, he's pretty good. A couple of the guys are pretty good. I'm going to get into those later when we do the big season preview. We'll go position by position to the point of tediousness. I'm like, all right, seventh string punter. Let's get to it. So Seth Luttrell, as per usual, was pretty generic. I mean, this is not where he's strongest, giving these interviews, making the rounds. And that's fine. I don't blame him. I don't think it's a bad thing. It does look like it sucked. Being asked the same question and being told to be funny, you know what I mean? Or be like in your best behavior. Just all of it.
Congenial. I don't want to be congenial.
Yeah, I mean, dude, like if you've ever had to go do anything for work that's similar, like, all right, we're going to go down and it's going to be like a forced networking event and you just, it's just a beating. You can see them having to do this. This is all work. They don't want to be here. They'd rather be doing anything else. And then also, like, for coaches especially, they have to watch what they say because it could get taken out of context or anything like that. And then they have to answer for that forever. I mean, even, like, what Lane Kiffin was saying about sitting on the back of the plane, that's just a fun little story, but that makes him sound like a dick, you know? Like, God. It's like, I haven't sat in the back of the plane in years. Like, geez, dude, okay, yeah, you know? Whatever. That's also just, he just has a history of talking like that.
Like, how do you look at this conference? Like, how do you prepare your team? Do you look at, like, a Louisiana Tech and say, hey, that's the class of the conference? That's who we need to be emulating? That's who we need to attack? Or?
Yeah, I mean, you named a team that's been consistent and been solid and obviously had opportunities to compete for championships. You also look at a team like Western Kentucky. I mean, felt like last year they were probably as good as any team we played. A lot of great players and great coaching staff, and you know, those are obviously the two at the top at this point, but you look from top to bottom, there's a lot of solid teams. And we, again, there's great players, there's great coaches, and we got to do a great job of refocusing every week on you know, whether it's successful or unsuccessful the week before. We got to really work on getting to the next game and having a good consistent week of practice, because if you don't, yeah, no chance.
Is that like your motivation style? Do you kind of say, hey, look at this team, look at them week in and out, or you kind of keep it internal?
I keep it internal. I mean, you know, at the the end of the day, who the guys are in the conference, who are at the top in the league. But at the end of the day, it truly doesn't matter. What we're really focused on is how much better can we get ourselves. And the more consistent we can get, the more competition we can have, the better we get, the closer we'll get. So we just got to continue to make sure that we take care of our own business.
Do you feel you've closed the gap any, like from last year to this year?
We'll see. I mean, you know, I feel like I would hope we have. You know, it's been a lot of hard work, and players have done a great job this offseason of, you know, reestablishing that chemistry with a new team. I think Coach Womack, again, our strength coach, has done an unbelievable job. You can finally see guys coming out on the field. They look different. Their bodies are changing. And so I hope so.
Is there anything that you can point to that we can say, well, definitely this is 2017 Mean Green program and not the 2016 one?
Hopefully consistency. I think, you know, at the end of the day, that's something that, you know, we struggle with at times. I think when the highs are high, you know, I think we're pretty good. But, you know, I think some of that comes consistency somewhat as part of being mentally tough. We got to be a more mentally tough football team.
So Seth Lichot didn't really say anything unusual, anything pretty exciting or anything like that. Did you hear anything that stood out to you?
No, I mean, just wanting to improve to get better. He made a few comments about trying to improve the offensive line. You know, standard stuff that everybody knows, and he's not giving anything up.
Nope. He feels it's like they're coming back stronger. You can see them come back stronger. Will Max doing a good job with them. He said he did feel they've closed the gap a little, hopefully. On Louisiana Tech, Western Kentucky. But those are good teams, good programs. But we just focus on ourselves and try to get better every day, every week. I mean, he's pretty good at weaving it back around to what he wants to say. Saying the things that he has said to everybody for years now. Yeah, so nothing amazing from our guys. Our guys were like the least, I don't want to say the least entertaining from this whole thing, would you say? Mm-hmm. Did you hear anybody else?
No, I wasn't really.
No. All right, so a couple other things going on in like North Texas Dome, aside from the media days, and I'll kind of mix in some of the other things some of the other people said. Because I was, all right, so I'm there for 2 days. The first afternoon, I kind of step in. I see Brett Vito, Ben Baby, North Texas alum, and like Dallas Morning News writer. Everybody just kind of standing around waiting for everybody to come in. They've already begun their, like, Ron Thulin interview thing in the corner of the little lobby here. Not lobby, the meeting room. And it's pretty chill. Like, the whole weekend is just, like, super low-key. Like, nobody's super excited. It's not a whole lot of talking. It's just chill. Everybody makes a stop by Gil Brandt to go shake his hand. Like, you're amazing. Super low key. There's like little rooms where they kept taking them. So they would be in the interview room with the local beat writers, but then they'd go, they're like, all right, we got a 3:30, and they had to go do their social media talk. They had to go talk to BN Sports. They had to go talk to Stadium, whatever in the hell that is. So, you know, it was super chill, however. So I'm sitting there and I'm like, well, nobody's talking to the UTEP guy, so I guess I just felt obligated. So I went over there to talk to him. Mm-hmm. And that's basically what prompted me to go interview. I talked to UTEP, Marshall, UAB, Western Kentucky, UTSA guys. I think that was it. Florida Atlantic, those guys. I had nothing to say to Southern Miss people. And Louisiana Tech was like, everybody was around them. And everybody was following Lane Kiffin, who is taller than you think, tanner than you think, and a little disheveled. There you go. Here's my impressions of the dude.
Sounds like he went on a little vacation.
He did or I did?
No, he did.
Yeah. I mean, who knows? Something. But on the back of the plane, turns out. all right. So, like, other things have happened. The young alumni season ticket thing, like, they announced it kind of around the same time. I think it's pretty cool. I wish they had it for me. When, you know, I was a young alumni, now I'm an old, I'm a medium level alumni, I guess. Alumnus.
Der.
Yeah.
Experienced alumni.
Yeah. Is it a good thing? Yes or no?
Yeah, of course. Of course it is. You want to try to get everybody in as much as possible. And when you're talking about young alumni, you know, I don't want to say in this economy, but when you're a young alumni, you know, you weren't bringing in the dough.
I was in the fucking recession, dude. So
yeah, me too.
Yeah.
So that's what I recall being super duper poor after graduating. And, of course I wasn't going to afford season tickets. So if you make it accessible to more people, of course, it's a good way to have more season ticket holders.
Yeah. I mean, it's good. It's the way to do it. You want to build in habits for everybody, right? Like, you know, you want to make people, you want to make it easy, and you want to get them, you want to build habits for them to be associated with your product, right? And I know I sound like a douchey marketing guy, but I mean, you make it easy for guys. Like, if you went to the games all the time, you want to keep going. You're like, oh, I don't have money for season tickets. But you're like, what if it's a, you know, reduced price? You're like, cool, I can keep it going. And then by the time, you know, you've kind of aged out of that thing, you've assuming you've gotten a job or you've leveled up a little bit, you're like, you know what? I want to keep it going. I want to keep going. I don't want to just stop. And it's only a little bit more than I was paying. Cool.
Yeah, and you know, do stuff like, instead of parking at Fouts, I want to park at Apogee, so I'm gonna up my donation. That way, I can get that parking pass.
Yeah,
et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, that's the way it goes. I think it's smart. I the kind of thing that you think, why didn't they do this before? You know, and then you're like, that's how you know it's a good idea. If you think, why didn't they do this before? So good stuff. I like to see that. Supporters like John Williams out there supporting things, and then the university doing similar things. Everybody working together to make some things happen. Another thing I saw on the message board in the recent past, we didn't write this down on our like to talk about list, so it's out of left field. People trying to get like the frat dudes, sorority chicks off the hill and into the stadium. I don't understand why they think that's necessary to do, why they think that those people are going to have a good time at the football game, when obviously they're there to just basically do a cookout, you know, to be outside drinking. That's what they're there for.
Yeah, they're there to party.
Yeah. I mean, that's part of the atmosphere. Like, when you sell somebody on going to the game, you can say, you can go through the hill, look at everybody having a great time, you can hang out with them for a little bit, and you continue on and go into the game, right? But if you're not a football fan, it's really hard to get you to go in and watch football, you know? So you have to sell the football thing. The other part is part of the atmosphere around the football game.
Right, and some people aren't going to the football game. They're going to the tailgating. And the same can be said. It's just not, it's not limited to North Texas. You'll see it at A&M. You'll see it at Texas. They're just kids wanting to party, and I don't fault them for it. It's not a bad thing.
Yeah, I don't see why we shouldn't bother them and try to get them in, because I think somebody had a good point on there, and I forget their name, but they said, all you're going to do is force them to do this elsewhere, because that's what they're going to do.
Right.
Yeah.
They're not going to want to come, and now your hill's going to be empty.
Yeah. The Venn diagram of people that just want to party, people that want to see the football game, they don't overlap, you know?
Right.
So that's fine. I don't think forcing anybody to stop the tailgates and go in is a good thing. Because you know what they do? They fold up the tailgate and they leave. They go home. I am friends with a bunch of people that like the tailgate and not go into the games. That's not, you know what I mean? That, you know, I've tried to drag them in. I try to tell them about football. They don't care. They're just like, I go for the tailgate. I'll go with you to your tailgate. I'll watch your tailgate while you're in the game. That's what they've told me. And I'm like, you know what? Fine. Good. That's fine. Our tailgate's fine. I'll go into the game, and then I'll blog about it later because I'm a weirdo. I'm the weirdo here when you think about it, right?
And I don't think it would change if North Texas was, you know, national champion 16-0, whatever. I don't think they'd go in and watch the football game anyway. It's not about having more wins. There's a locale. There's a lot of people having fun there, and they want to be a part of that.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's what we need to sell is, hey, folks, come on down and be a part of this badass party.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, that's all there is to it. It's kind of like going down to a bowl game or something like that. Like, you don't really care about what happens at the bowl game. So it's just an excuse to meet up and have a good time and go on a little trip. And I think maybe some people lose sight of that. Anyway, just that was another thing that came up. I wrote something, and then you said, yeah, I was good, about Conference USA media thing. You wanted to talk about that a little bit?
Oh, yeah. You were touching upon how the media days wasn't as well attended as you would expect, or at least it might have seemed in the past. You know, there's not as many broadcasters or media folks there trying to get interviews and stuff. You said it was like a different age of trying to get your media guys or your independent beat writers out there.
Yeah, I mean, well, some of the things I'm trying. I've never been to the media days before, but you know, just read like in the couple of weeks before this event, I was reading like other people talking about like SEC media days or Big 12 media days. Or any of these things. Like, everybody knows that everybody cares about the SEC. You know, you go see Nick Saban do his press conference, whatever. But not a whole lot of people care about the Sun Belt media days, which are, like, I think in 3 days. Like, I mean, do you care? Did you even know it was going to be there? Like, no.
I didn't know.
No. So, I was kind of, you know, I was just, as I'm sitting there, again, there was some downtime. It's super chill sometimes. As I'm just chilling, waiting for, you know, the person I want to talk to come back into the room. I take a look around and it's pretty sparsely populated, you know, like there's nobody in there. So I went to like the media room where the media work room. I'm like, maybe there's a bunch of dudes in here like cranking out amazing stories. And there were like three, you know, there. I went back to the other one. I'm like, where are the other people? And there's like two other guys just chilling, talking about something else. They're talking about some other team. They're like, yeah, what do you think Arkansas is going to do? You know, so I'm just kind of like, I'm just trying to gauge all of that. And I think you see some of the newer media people, and I'm not even including myself in that because I basically played the role of old school beat writer with my recorder. So, hey, tell me about the, you know, tell me about this season, kid, you know. But like, I think the Reddit people, they had the camera and they're taking video on their phone and stuff. I said Corey Diaz because I saw him there. I saw he was going to be there and I recognized his face, and he was just walking around with the video. I think he got some good video of, like, Skip Holtz, some good video of, I think, Mike Sanford, the Western Kentucky coach. And he's just talking to him with the video camera in the face, you know, with video camera, his phone in their face. And he's just walking around recording that way, and he's writing his stories. And I was thinking how, like, that's really all you need nowadays. You know what I mean? Like, I have my phone with me. I'm taking pictures. Like, I'm taking a picture of a guy retweeting his quote with it, right? And I'm like, that's largely what you need. And if I wanted to, I could have banged out a blog post on my phone as I was talking to these people. You know what I mean? Like, you really don't need a whole lot. I took, like, a camera, too, and I didn't even need that. Like, I had a backpack with, like, my laptop in it. I really didn't even need that. And, like, in a pinch. You know what I'm saying? My point is that, like, there are a lot of, like, journalists, dudes that are out of a job right now because, like, digital media is cutting everybody, pivoting to video. And, like, partly because, you know, the budgets are smaller, nobody's subscribing, and all this other stuff. But then you need somebody to cover these things. I saw some people blogging, like, or writing, like, actual writers employed at news agencies, writing about the media days based on what they saw live streamed, you know? That's good and bad. The conference is getting their message out there, so they don't need all these reporters because they can say, here, look, here's Ron Thulin, Facebook Live. We don't even need you to come out here. But then also, you know, why should I come out there? Because you're broadcasting it to me, and I can just write a story based on what I watched in the video. But there are some benefits to going to the actual event. And like I said, the guy is named Chris Hummer from 24/7 Sports. It was cool to talk to him. He got some good quotes from Lane Kiffin, just the video there, sitting, putting his phone into his face and let him talk for a bit.
Yeah, and if you want to ask or get your questions answered, you need to get there because, you know, watching it on Facebook Live, your questions aren't going to get asked if you've got, you know, a specific school you want to cover.
Yeah.
you know, whether it be like quarterback competition or you're taking over this team, what's the philosophy, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, and unfortunately, like, the problem with all that is, like, you know, you can go and ask that question and it doesn't necessarily mean they're going to answer it.
Sure.
Yeah, like, I was trying to find the way to get them to answer some of those. When I had to get an answer about, like, say, a rivalry, I'm like, hey, so who do you guys consider your rival? And I already know that they don't really have an official rival, and they're like, eh, well, we're nobody. I'm like, okay, well, who do you look forward to on the schedule, right? And they're like, eh, nobody, take every game by game. And then, so I finally settled on that, all right, it's a long-ass explanation for it. So, you know, I know you care about every game, but when you check the scores, which team are you happy that lost, you know? You're just like, yeah, I'm glad Louisiana Tech lost. Finally, I got some kind of response to that. And, I mean, you know, you don't always have that much time with each of them because somebody else has to get their feature for the hometown paper or something. But, yeah. I don't know how you solve that problem, especially at, as we mentioned, Conference USA Media Days, where they come in prepared with their speech. You know, looking forward to it. You know, that I can basically read the talking points after hearing all three members of their delegation speak. You know, in 2 days, we report in 2 days. We're looking forward to taking on, you know, insert first opponent here. And, you know, really excited about building on what happened last year. And, you know, that kind of thing.
Sure.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's cool. There's what I was saying is, like, about other media institutions. You probably pay a guy, especially in Dallas, there's a lot of journalists, probably pay a couple of people just to go and get quotes for that outlet specifically, or some video for that outlet specifically. Doesn't even
you're not going to see like Fox Sports or ESPN College Game Day with you know, booths and cameras set up there.
No. I mean, I think one thing that I think was pretty glaring was that there was only one radio station there, and it was from Louisiana. It was like ESPN 97.7 or something like that out of Louisiana. The guy had like a kind of a Cajun lilt, and I can't reproduce it, but it was just right on the end. He sounded like normal radio guy. We're the only radio station here in covering Conference USA Media Days. We're coming right back right after we blah, blah, blah. And then when he's walking around talking, you can hear him like sound like he's Cajun Louisiana.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I can't do it for you, guys. I'm not that talented. But I was just like, I mean, think about all these like struggling radio stations, these smaller ones, like I mean, that seems like an easy remote right there. Even just send a guy to go get an audio, right? Like an intern or somebody.
Where are you, the ticket?
That's what I was wondering. I mean, I think it's, for North Texas specifically, it kind of sucks that one of the local teams had their media days there. And again, the only local person was the beat writer, you know? Like you can, I'm surely there's an intern somewhere you can send. To just stick a recorder in his face and get some quotes.
And well, in Vito's defense, he covers both the Record Chronicle and submits stuff for Dallas Morning News or DFW Sports Day.
Yeah, I mean, I know that's what I'm saying is like, but there are other outlets out there, right? I mean,
for sure, yeah. You'd expect some radio station to swing by to cover other schools, you know?
Yeah,
you got teams like Southern Miss there.
Yeah, even, I mean, I don't know, that's what I'm saying, even a quote. It's just, like, easy, because nobody's there doing it. And anyway, I don't run these stations. I don't want to sound like the guy, like, you know, I went the one time, and let me solve all your problems here, you know, because people do that, and they go to North Texas football games. Like, well, you know, let me tell you what, I once went to an Arizona Wildcats game, and let me tell you everything that's wrong with North Texas. Like, okay, buddy, you just don't understand all of that. I'm just wondering why they don't do it. And I'm sure the answer is nobody cares, you know? Like, the one time we did try to cover North Texas, nobody gave a damn. Our ratings actually, you know, dipped, so we're not wasting our time. It could have been that.
That's the truth. Conference USA is struggling to get, you know, they dropped, what, Fox Sports recently, or CBS Sports, somebody?
Yeah.
And so they're struggling to get a big media sponsor.
Yeah, I don't know what stadium is or was. I never heard of it. And, I mean, really, I didn't even care to ask. I didn't want to go talk to the commissioner and get talking pointed. You know, I don't really care. It's a chicken or the egg kind of thing. Like, how do you get these teams the recognition that they want, and in some cases that they deserve? Like, Western Kentucky is pretty damn good. How do you get them to do that and get that without, like, the spotlight? And then how do they get the spotlight without being recognized? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it has to be a story. And that's why everybody came for Lane Kiffin and a little bit Butch Davis. You know, those two are stories mostly because they were elsewhere. And I'm like, let's go talk to them. And Ron Thulin immediately like, yeah, I remember you from USC. It's great to see you. And then he didn't really talk to the players too much.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to him. I was like, so what do you, does it bother you at all? Like that nobody cares about you guys? It's just all about Lane Kiffin? And what's his name? Aziz Al-Shaair, the linebacker. He says, yeah, I mean, yes and no. Like, it's good because now people are paying attention to us. And then they both said, Antonio Woods, the lineman, was like, yeah, I mean, it means that, you know, if we were trying to be all conference or get attention, have people watch our games, now they will. You know what I mean? Like, people have been playing well. We have been playing well. And now people will pay attention because they're here for Lane Kiffin. And at the same time, if we suck, then we won't make him look good. He'll look bad, you know? So,
well, everybody's going to tune in, you know, their first two games, Lane Kiffin and Butch Davis, just because they're Lane Kiffin and Butch Davis. And I'm sure a lot of folks came in to interview them at the Conference USA Media Days just because they'd be a heck of a lot more accessible here than they would at the SEC Media Day or whatever.
Yeah, it's totally true. I mean, it is, like, for the conferences part, they do a good job of putting on something that is perfect for the type of coverage they get, you know? And I kind of wanted to go in there, like, I'm, you know, being an irreverent guy and doing some bits or something like that, but it's really hard to do that when everybody is so sincere and so nice, and they're not full of themselves or anybody. Nobody's brushing anybody off. They, you know what I'm saying? Like, they're just regular people. So, you really can't go in there and be super irreverent guy because then you're just being an asshole. So
you're never going to be invited again.
Well, aside from that, but then you're just going to be insulting it, you know. I mean, everybody's cool. All the communication directors were super, you know, nice and accommodating. And, I mean, I wasn't even trying to, they're like, hey, did you get everything you need? I can bring them over here. Do you want to set up video? You know what I'm saying? Like, if I wanted to do anything, like, literally, like, yeah, I'm going to do, like, a podcast hit over here. They're like, sure, let's get them over here. Who do you need? You know, they're super accommodating for all the teams in the conference. So I think next season, I think that's what I'm going to do because they're super cool.
That sounds like a good idea.
Yeah.
Is it still going to be in Irving, or do they move it around?
I think it's going to be in Irving. It was in Irving last season also, I do believe. But, I mean, Irving's, Dallas is kind of really easy to get to. Kind of really easy. It is really easy to get to. So I think that's definitely where they'll put it. I mean, you know, the basketball tournament's going to be at the Star there. So
the Star?
Yeah. I mean, the thing is that it's if we have our team, if North Texas was a little bit more, I want to say, like, media friendly. Maybe if that, like, that's one case I was kind of hoping Dan McCartney was there, because I feel like he would have been more quotable. I mean, Seth Luttrell just really needs to win. That's mostly what I care about. But you could tell it's just like, for the purposes of that kind of thing, you're like, can you be a little bit more like Skip Holtz over here? Or Bobby Wilder, who's, that guy's funny, man. And he just talked for days. He's just talking. He's talking about how they got Liberty out there. He's like, yeah, Alabama was going to pay us 1.3, blah, blah, blah. So we went with Liberty because Liberty's going to pay us 1.3 also. So he kind of winked. And the whole I mean, that's what I'm saying. That's good stuff. It's funny. Yeah. Just even good conversation.
So. Yeah, just ask Luttrell once more with feeling.
Can we do that again? But this time, can you be like a human being, please? Thanks. I'm kidding. So that, I think that is about sums it up. Day two, Lane Kiffin was there early in the morning. It was like 8:30. I couldn't get myself up. I made the mistake of hanging out with friends the night after. the night previous, and after the first day, and probably stayed out too late. For an old guy now, you know, like, I mean, it's like 10. But like the next morning, you know, they had him out there early. He was there early. He had a giant crowd around him. That's where a lot of people were getting the video and stuff. And he never returned to the room. I think they were supposed to, and he was supposed to, but he never did. And it could be that he was out doing a phone interview or something, because there's a lot of people doing that stuff. Like I said, they were accommodating, and that kind of meant sometimes that the player you wanted to talk to was engaged in a phone interview or something, or doing some other bit. But there was a large crowd of reporters waiting for him to return, and he never did. So that's it. Let's talk about Hugh Freeze getting canned. I mean, I realize this is not an Ole Miss blog or podcast, but...
Yeah, but it's big news.
Yeah, it's huge news, because I think immediately a handful of reporters, a handful of writers, you know, came out with their list, like, who's going to replace Hugh Freeze at Ole Miss? And that list of names included two different guys. Wrote Frank Wilson from UTSA, and Lane Kiffin, question mark, from, you know, Florida Atlantic.
Sure. Makes sense.
Yeah. I don't think either of those guys is going to make the kind of that move, especially to Ole Miss is super toxic right now, so I wouldn't do that. But those two are like on the top of the list for getting new jobs for whatever reason. I don't know that Frank Wilson did the most amazing job, but I feel like it's his reputation as a recruiter and the fact that he didn't do a terrible job in his first year at UTSA.
He won 7 games, was it? I mean, his reputation is what, 6 games? Is his reputation is still holding him up. If he's able to get out, he should probably get out soon.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I mean, no offense to him. He might do a great job at UTSA, but I think right now what will give him the best chance to get him an awesome job will be his reputation within the next season or two.
Yeah, and I think he has SEC ties, and I think that's still holding him there. They're like, people remember
exactly.
Him. Yeah, people remember him there. But an SEC gig is a big gig, especially for, I mean, I don't know. Like, if you're telling me, if I'm in Ole Miss or something like that, and you're like, hey, we're going to get this guy that went 6-6 and went to a bowl game in his first year. You're like, is that it? Is that all we got? I mean,
is that the best we can do?
Yeah. I mean, I'd much rather have like a Lane Kiffin, even though, I don't know, you never know what you're going to get there. I really don't know what Lane Kiffin's going to do at Florida Atlantic, man. Like, it just, something doesn't feel right there. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's going to blow up.
Well, you know, you got Briles there as well.
Yeah, I mean, I still don't know how it is all going to work out. Like, Kiffin has been a good coach. I think that's lost in a lot of the stuff that he does. He's been a good coach at all his stops. You know, USC was really good. They had a lot of talent. They were really good. They had 1 year where they underperformed, and that's kind of led to the firing. But it's all the other stuff that he does. That's what gets him fired. It's not really the coaching.
Right.
And, you know, he can say that he learned from Nick Saban, whatever, but I don't know how long that's going to last.
I think he'll be able to get a job somewhere like FAU at one of the lower P5s, just because, or FIU, whichever one it is.
He said FAU.
FAU? Okay. Yeah. That shows how much I...
Yeah.
Just because, you know, they want that little bump, that Lane Kiffin bump, both in attention, maybe in wins. Like you said, he's a good coach. He can do fine. I think what Frank Wilson, the attraction Frank Wilson has is the ability to recruit, and he can build a really good team. He's yet to show he can be a good coach, just because it's only been one season. He needs a couple more seasons to show. But, I mean, he's what, the running back coach, right? So he's brought guys in like Leonard, or at least coached them. I don't know if he recruited them, but, you know, you got Leonard Fournette, you know, Alfred Blue, Jeremy Hill, Kenny Hilliard. These are awesome running backs that have made it to the NFL. We've got Leonard Fournette, just a big name, and he can Frank Wilson can ride on these names for a while.
Yeah, I think, funny enough, what Lane Kiffin said at Media Days, I heard to quote him saying that he used to be, he looked at a board and like, yeah, I want that guy, let's take a look at that guy, let's call him up, you know, when he's recruiting. And they're like, you know, I feel like you need to, like, reset your levels, you know, adjust your vision a little bit here, because you're not going to be able to get those guys. You're going to need to get these guys here, down here. And so I think it's real easy to say that guy's the best dude in the state, you know, and let's go talk to him. And convincing him to go to your school then, you know, versus like a Texas, Texas A&M, the other big time school, is a specific skill maybe. And finding the guy who is undersized or you know, whatever the case may be, under recruited, but is still talented and can be good at this level, at a Conference USA level, or just is overlooked. That's a different skill, you know. Maybe not. They're not completely different. They do involve evaluation, but you know, like convincing that guy to come here versus an Arkansas State or that kind of thing. That is a different skill and requires a different, you know, level of recruiting, I think.
And I think North Texas has been showing that a little bit so far.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think the jury's out still right now on whether or not Seth Luttrell's stated philosophy of, like, you know, forget the stars. Like, we know who could fit in here and that kind of thing. Like, that I can still see that bearing fruit. It could be possible. And I think there's some evidence to suggest they have an idea of what they're doing. I mean, you look at, like, Eric Jenkins, Bryce English, guys that came in kind of late, you know, and you're like, who's this guy? What's he going to do? Oh, well, they're just, you know, he'll just lead the team in interceptions, and he'll just take the starting corner spot. Now, those if kinds you, of things.
If you had read my preview last preseason, then yeah, you would have been aware.
Yeah, I mean, like, things like that are they're like, they're arguments for Seth Luttrell, knowing what he's doing. And we'll see that definitely when Cade Pearson gets his time to shine. I mean, Mason Fine already, I mean, I think the same issues, right? He's undersized. This is why he didn't go to one of the big-time schools. If he's 6'5", you know, 215 pounds, he would be, you know, with his numbers, he would have been, you know, at Oklahoma. But instead, he's at North Texas. But he's still a good football player. What was his problem? Still that he's undersized, you know?
And he's a freshman.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I think there is an awareness among the staff here that it's more difficult to recruit, not just North Texas, but to a conference like Conference USA, like you were saying with I think you were talking about Lane Kiffin, of adjusting who you want to target, adjusting your philosophy, because you only have to beat Conference USA level talent. You don't have to get a team of P5 talent in order to win the league. Obviously, it'll help, but you got to at least get Conference USA talent to beat Conference USA teams.
Yeah, yeah, and that's a thing. And yeah, I was like, because I think everybody was complaining about it was again on the message board. I saw people complaining about, like, where's this program going? I don't know if we can beat UAB. UAB is so good. We're going to get stomped. I'm like, okay, let's calm it down a little bit. Like, yes, UAB is going to be, I don't know what they are. Like, I'm writing a season preview right now, which will be available for sale. I said it last season. Let me do an aside to this aside. Season preview, you know, I'll talk about that in a second. I was going through the season preview, and I was looking at UAB, and my initial inclination is to say, expansion team, basically. That's a win. W, done. Move on. But especially after talking to Shaq Jones, who's huge, by the way. The guy's huge. The Chris, I forget his last name, and Bill Clark, the coach. And, you know, you're hearing him talk and whatever, and you can kind of fall into the hype a little bit. You know, like, they've had a lot of experienced players, some people still around, the coach is still there, they've had a lot of time to prepare. And they've got to, you know, they have that unusual situation where they can get more in the class than otherwise. I think it's good and bad, you know, having been pretty close to, like, the UTSA building thing. I mean, yeah, I lived here in San Antonio, you can see it. You can kind of watch it closely. it can mean anything, really. It can mean that they're really good at beating FCS teams and can jump up and bite the unawares FBS team or a very a team that's not really paying attention or doesn't have all their stuff together, FBS team. Will they be that? I don't know. I mean, it's really hard to tell. But it doesn't really matter because even if we lose to UAB, Rice is very beatable. UTEP is very beatable. UTSA is very beatable. And a lot of people are like, well, they beat us last year. But that's just going at it on wins and losses and ones and zeros. We turned the ball over four times. We had the ball at the 1 yard line. You know what I mean? Like, we had the
freshman. Beat ourselves.
Yeah, we did. And you talked to Seth Luttrell. I've talked to him before about it, like one on one. And he's like, this is just turnovers, man. It's freshman mistakes. You know, like, we had that game. We should have won that game. You know, you can't dwell on it, but we should have won that game. And I felt that way afterwards. It was nice to feel a little validated, but I mean, you can say the same thing about Rice. Like, we were down 17 points. We should have lost that game, right? But those are teams that are beatable. The Western Kentucky, Louisiana Tech, those are teams that are maybe the gap is too big to beat them. Because we can have a great game, they can have an off game, and we can still get whooped. But even there's always going to be a team or two, and we've really yet to identify who that team's going to be, that is, like, paper strong, you know, and not really that great. Right. And last year, who was that? Southern Miss and Marshall. Going into the season, Marshall's going to be good. You got to look out for them. They're going to be so good. They're returning, you know, the coach. Chase Litton is really good. He's going to have a breakout year. You know, you can just name all the reasons why they're going to be good and talk yourself into a thing. When I posted the season preview for last season up on, like, the Conference USA message board, the Marshall guys, like, laughed me off the board. They're like, really? You think you're going to be Marshall? Boo. And my point was, like, hey, when we didn't have an offense, basically, right, in our one-win season, we went over to Marshall, and you could see how we could beat them. If we had any kind of offense, it would have been a game. Like, Marshall had to pull out some trick plays to beat us. Like, whatever, bro, you just forget what happened. Here's a highlight video so you can see what happened and see it again and what's going to happen in Denton. Turns out we whooped them.
Yeah, yeah. And we finally connected with Tyler Whistling. Because what happened, if I'm ranting too, happened that year is DeMarcus Smith had Tyler Wilson, not Tyler Wilson, Turner Smiley twice.
Yeah.
Deep, but it was off by like 1 foot to 6 inches.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the game. I mean, 6 inches to a foot, it's a game of inches, right? It's all cliche stuff, but it is. And so you can't always look at it as ones and zeros. We beat Rice, therefore we'll always beat Rice. We could have lost, and we should have lost twice to them. You know, like we were down 17, and then we had the game, and then we allowed them to drive the field, score a touchdown, get the 2-point conversion, and then we needed to stop them on fourth down in overtime to win the game, right? Versus a UTSA, like they looked like they handled us. But we turned the ball over four times. We were driving on them a few times. You know what I mean? Like
we were moving the ball.
We were moving the ball, and we were getting to them. And eventually the defense is, like, getting tired, and they found a way to break through and score on us. You know? Like, it's more than just the wins and losses. And so the same thing. I don't really believe – I mean, you look at Southern Miss. I don't know if I believe in them. They don't have as stable of a situation at quarterback as they once did. If you look at Middle Tennessee, who lost their quarterback and then proceeded to fall apart, they look fragile, right? That's like what do they have beyond Stockstill there, the quarterback?
Are they getting Stockstill back though?
Yeah, yeah. So then, like, you know, what happens there? UTEP, they were all Aaron Jones for a while. But they, you know, they whooped us. They whooped us because of their star running back and, you know, other things.
And their star tight end.
Yeah, turns out he's a star tight end. That was like one of the computer games where you're just like, turn this game off. This game's cheating. Like, there's no way this guy's good. I mean, there's a lot to it, and I wouldn't get caught up in reading all the hype because they need to do that. I mean, you look at Southern Miss last season. They were the same team except for the quarterback, and they got whooped by us, right? They went to UTSA with full strength, and they got whooped at UTSA. The conference from top to bottom is not very different. except for maybe Western Kentucky, because they're just a really good program.
They're a good program, but they turned over a lot of players and new coach and stuff. There's question marks all over the board, even La Tech. They lost Carlos Henderson and Tywan Taylor. But Conference USA is kind of unpredictable. The swings are heavy between the bottom and the top, you know, aside from La Tech and Western Kentucky lately and sometimes Middle Tennessee. But, you know, you can't predict where teams are going to go and be pretty accurate, as fun as it can be. You know, Marshall going from top to bottom. They recently had that number one recruiting class. I'm sure they're going to come back this year.
Yeah, Marshall should be good. Like, I feel like what happened was, like, ODU was a surprise. They're like, what? Where'd they come from? Old Dominion jumped up out of seemingly nowhere, right? They've been building the program, slowly building it, and next thing you know, 10 wins. 10 wins, but Marshall falls off. What's going to happen now? Is Marshall going to come all the way back? Is Old Dominion going to keep doing what they're doing? They lost a quarterback, and I feel like we could beat Old Dominion. Old Dominion didn't play that well on the road, and they have to come to Denton and play. You know? So, I feel good about this season. The preview of the previews is that I feel good about this season. And I think my initial look at it, I was like, I think we can get 8 wins. We can get 8 wins, ladies and gentlemen.
Man, it's double my prediction.
I mean, I was the one over here predicting a bowl of 8-9 wins last season. And I feel like we should have beat UTSA. I feel like we should have beat UTEP. So there are 2 more wins on top of our 5. And then I forget who else. Somebody else. I forget what it was. Oh, the SMU. Should it be SMU? That was some bullshit.
Don't get me started. I think my pessimism lies more with the defense, the front 7, than the offense. I think the offense can put up some points. I think the front 7 will allow a lot of points.
Yeah, I think ideally we'll have a very Conference USA team that has a offense that can score and a defense that is opportunistic, maybe gets scored upon a lot, but makes plays. And that's fine. I mean, you know, like, that's not going to beat Alabama, but again, we're playing Conference USA football. Once we get to a certain level, we can figure out how we're going to beat Alabama. Ladies and gentlemen, I think we're done. I think both our wives are looking at us like, you guys are still doing this? Guys, you guys are such nerds. Why did I marry? To which we have no response, really. See, I'll just do it right now. We don't really have good responses to this, so we're just going to have to go and do husband-type things. But I will say that, so this year, much like last year, I've been writing up a giant season preview, and this one I'm gonna put on the internet in book form, ebook form. You can get it for $10, but I will, like, slowly put it all out on the internet anyway. But buying the book helps support the site. It's another way to do it. There was interest in it last season to do it. People liked it. It was like one of the most read things. Also, it might have been because it was free. But we'll see. We'll see what's up. It's a way for you to support the site. You could also join the site, support the site monthly. There's an annual one. It's like $3 monthly, $30 annually. It helps support the site, keep it running, and also send some people hither and thither. Also, it helps me pay some people. Or, like, we're going to get a photographer out there. Some of these North Texas games, so I'm gonna get some cool shots, stuff like that, you know, good stuff. I was an entrepreneurship major at University of North Texas, so I like to do things myself, you know. So that's kind of what this is all about. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for listening to the show. Aldo, thanks for joining the show again.
Hey, no problem. It's a lot of fun.
Go Mean Green.
Go Mean Green.